Well, thanks so much for joining us today on A World of Good podcast. My name is Joshua Wieger, and I'm sitting at a table with my dear friend, Angela Presley. Hi, Angela.
Hi, Josh.
We are together in North Carolina at a thing called the Immigrant Connection Welcome Conference. And we are together with a number of other mission leaders from around the U.S. that are connected with the Church of God here. And we are having our yearly meeting called the Global Strategy Roundtable. Why, Angela, are you here? What's your role? Where do you live? Tell me how you're connected with the Global Strategy Roundtable.
Sure, you bet. So I have the privilege of serving at a church in Oklahoma City. It's called Crossings Community Church, and I get to serve as the Global Missions Pastor. So being here at this conference and just having some beautiful conversations, hard conversations, about our role as it relates to reaching immigrants and connecting with the heart of God and how we do that in practical ways, It's just been really a rich week and really just great conversations around a topic that's not easily discussed in most environments.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. I'm learning a ton, and I always enjoy gathering with our Church of God mission leaders from around the nation who are serving globally in so many different capacities. Last time we were together was a year ago, and we were in Wichita. And you shared a story, a couple stories that I wanted to make sure to try to get on tape. Do we call it tape? I don't even know if we call it tape. get it recorded so that we could share with others, because it's been very inspiring to me. And you said that your role was in global missions with your church. Mm-hmm. And I think you got to Crossings right before COVID.
I did.
Right?
Yes.
And so when you go to a place like, I don't know, when I think of Oklahoma City, I think landlocked. I think, you know, it's not a regular port of entry for folks.
Right.
And so I'm thinking, if you're doing global missions from there, you're taking U.S.-based folks out. Mm-hmm. You're exposing them to a world, full of churches that are serving their communities and trying to connect them to different missions spaces. Mm-hmm. But something unique happened over your time in Oklahoma City, and for sure you do that other part too, mm-hmm. of connecting with different ministries and churches and individuals globally. Mm-hmm. But what opportunity presented itself to you guys in Oklahoma City itself?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Josh, you're right. I think when we look at global ministry, so often in the mindset, it is about what's out there, what's around the world, and not necessarily like what's right in front of you. I arrived in Oklahoma City just prior to COVID, and then I began to hear stories of some of these international students that had come overseas to study, and when COVID hit, they weren't able to return to their home countries. Mm. And so they were in isolation, and many people dealt with fear. But can you imagine being 18, 19, 20 years old, being cut off from your family in a foreign country and not able to return and not really sure what's going on? And so I was really grieved over that.
And you're talking about 18, 19, 20 year olds, like you said, but a lot of them have never even traveled outside of their country, right?
Like, exactly. Yes.
The international students I have met, a lot of them, this is their first time even on an airplane, let alone traveling across an ocean somewhere.
Absolutely.
And so, that I have not thought about the fear mm-hmm. that they must have been experiencing during the isolation of COVID.
Yes, absolutely.
So did they just wonder into your doors at the church? How did your connection happen?
Yeah, we began to really pray about how we could help. And honestly, as a church, we weren't positioned to do that. Mm. We didn't have the relationships with the universities at this point. There wasn't an international student ministry. And so we just weren't really sure what to do. So we began to pray and just ask that God would open up doors. And through networking, just conversations, we were led to a local university that was just in our back door, and had a conversation with one of their leaders that worked with the international students. And it just clicked. Like, began to just brainstorm of what we could do and how we could reach out to them. And so it started small. Like, we started just, first of all, helping with the airport runs. So when things begin to open up again and as students were able to return or as they were able to arrive for the first time, we were able to pick them up at the airports. And I can't even tell you how much fun that was, like seeing these students wide-eyed, even with jet lag and getting, you know, coming through the airport. And we would step out into Oklahoma City and their first time really to be in America. And so we just had some beautiful conversations. And my first students were a couple of Japanese students. Now, I lived and served in Japan for a number of years, and so it has had such a tender place in my heart, will always be a part of my heart. And so it was so fun to be able just to use my limited Japanese with them and to talk about places and locations that we had shared together. And so from airport runs, it began. We began to get involved in what they call a CRISP program. It's really allowing American families to connect with international students and to begin to cultivate this relationship, and just out of hospitality to be able to spend time with them at least once a month. Now, you can't just do once a month because you really fall in love with these students and want to be able to get to know them more and for them to get to know us and our culture.
Yeah. So, you know, you've traveled quite a bit. Mm-hmm. And I think you're probably like me where you found out pretty quickly it's really in the homes Absolutely. Of the people you're visiting that you really get to know someone's culture Yes. in a unique way. If you have that privilege of being invited into someone's home. And it's striking to me to learn that many international students that come to the U.S.
It's astounding.
Don't have that experience Yes. at all.
That's right.
They live on campus. They eat Mm-hmm. on campus. They vacation on campus. Yes. What were you finding? Did they have opportunities like that? Or were you guys really the first homes that they were going into?
Yes, I think that's true. I think that the statistic was very accurate for the university that we partnered with, that many of these students were not invited into homes. Mm-hmm. And so so for me and a number of individuals in our church, we began to connect with these international students. Now, for me personally, I really do see my home as a part of the ministry. I feel like it is a gift from God. And so I have wide open doors for my neighbors as well as for internationals. And so I would begin to invite these students over, and we would cook meals together. We would have game nights. We would have cultural nights, nights where they would cook meals. And then I would also bring other young adults or international students that are from universities locally from our church into the home as well, so that they were building cross-relational relationships. And it wasn't just me, but it was like our church family then was coming around them. And so it was just beautiful to see how that really flourished. Like, we grew and we learned more about the various cultures, but also I feel like they learned about us, and that it really helped to alleviate some of the fear maybe that they had experienced initially, and to feel like they had a place to belong and where they accepted and valued for their backgrounds as well.
What's the outcome of investing in a relationship like that? Like, can you tell me one story of where a relationship went or is going, where a relationship is going, that maybe started with a meal?
Sure. I'll use my Japanese students as an example. So as I began to invite them into my home, they really did become a part of our family. And so they went on, they went to holidays with me to my family's homes, or they would went on vacation with us and really did become a part of our family. One of my students, Miyuki, who graduated just recently, I asked her, I said, Miyuki, your mother is coming and this will be her first time here. What would you like for her to experience? And just in the limited time that she would be here. And I was really surprised. I really thought that it would be maybe just some of the bigger events that we did together, or things, favorite restaurants or something like that, that she would want to visit, or some of the hikes that we went on.
Yeah.
But she just, without hesitation, said to me, Angela, I want us to cook a meal together in your home. And I want my mother to come to church, because those have been the two most meaningful things in my life.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. How touching.
Oh, I just felt lost. It surprised me, but just so thankful for the way that I just saw the Spirit of God working in that relationship, and that, that was what she valued and meant a lot to her as well.
I know, it's a round table that some of the more meaningful conversations that I've ever had have been, you know, if someone's saying, that's great for Angela. Angela's very well traveled. Angela knows how to interact with international students. Angela knows how to interact with people from other countries. What would you say to somebody who says, I don't know what we would talk about. I don't know what I would serve to eat. What would you say to somebody who's maybe having some of those questions about inviting someone very different from themselves into their home?
Sure. And I can understand that. I mean, it can be uncomfortable, but I also think that just taking that first step, that already begins to break down a barrier. And because it is new to both of you, there are all kinds of things that you can talk about. So it's really just getting to know people and asking questions. And then as you do, those conversations go deeper and deeper. I mean, some of the conversations that we have had around the table have been so challenging, but also so meaningful because it establishes trust. Mm-hmm. And so I think just beginning with that first step of making yourself available, and then we learn so much, probably more than what we are actually helping to convey to them, but it just expands our heart, and it's all relational. It really is just about loving the people that's across from you and letting God to kind of work through that relationship.
That's beautiful. All right. I've got one more question, because I'm remembering this from the stories you told a year ago when we talked about this first, but I think you were inviting them to a fair or a state fair or a local outside fair is what I remember. I don't know if that's right or not. Yes. And you had invited two students.
Yes.
What happened that night?
Yes. Yeah, it was. So these were some of my students from India, and I had invited a couple of them to go to a local fair. And it was actually an Indian festival. And so I was really looking forward to just learning from them too. Like, is this like what you would experience? Like, is the type of food and all of that? And so when I showed up, literally there were six girls that I had never met, and they're all piling into my vehicle. And I was like, okay, here we go. And it was the most fun evening, and it was just the beginning. Like, they have continued to invite me into their home and to their apartment. Now, granted, like six or eight of them will live in a single apartment, but we have just expanded. So now I have all these wonderful students from India that are also a part of my family as well. And so, again, it's just, you never know what's going to happen when you step into those situations, right. But at some point, you just have to roll with it and trust that God has empowered you and place those people in front of you to really love and to care for.
Oh, Angela, thank you so much for sharing your story.
It's been a joy.
And thank you for saying yes, to the opportunities that God just puts in front of you, for saying yes over and over again, and for opening up your life to the hospitality of the Holy Spirit. And how beautiful you talked about learning from the people that you were ministering to and with, and how God was able to touch your heart through that relationship. So thanks so much for being on today. Thanks for recording the story, but thanks for saying yes.
Thanks for listening to A World of Good. A World of Good is a podcast production of Global Strategy and Church of God Ministries. Our theme song is Colorado by Leo Flores. If you want to join the conversation, visit us at Twitter at A World of Good Pod, on Instagram, A World of Good Podcast, or visit our website, chogglobal.org/A World of Good. And join us next time as we share more stories of good from around the world.